been a real good week, and it's been blessing. Morning meetings have been blessing too. Before I get started tonight, I'd like to tell you about what we've been doing the last few years in Poland. For those of you who may not know, or maybe catch you up on the Bible Project, you know, we went to Poland and 12 years ago or so, and we found that there is a Polish Bible that is based on the Old Greek text, and that was the one we decided to use. And before it wasn't long, we realized that it was like trying to read Wycliffe's Bible. The language was 17th century Polish, which is nothing like what they speak today as far as grammar and even vocabulary. So in our so-called free time, we've been working with some Poles to update the old language and grammar of that Bible, and we've basically finished the New Testament, and it's been a lot of work, and we appreciate y'all's prayers for it. But this is a print. We printed it out just to go over it. It's on a back table back there, and you can look through it and just keep praying that we'll get it finished and that God will bless that labor. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke in chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to preach it. Thank you for saving our souls. And for you bless this meeting tonight, that you speak to our hearts and you give me the right words to preach in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in verse 50, "His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And I'd like to touch a little bit tonight on the matter that was preached last night, and what I brought up a couple of nights ago about mercy. You know, if you've been preaching the gospel very much at all, if you've dealt with people about their souls, tried to witness to them, it doesn't take long to find out that they really do not understand the concept or the idea of mercy. Generally, maybe they do. But not really when it comes down to it, as was brought out last night so clearly. And, for example, you know, you find people that actually think that the Old Testament and the New Testament just don't jive at all. I mean, you find people that think that the God of the Old Testament is a different God completely altogether. And they actually think that the God of the Old Testament had nothing to do with mercy ever. And they read a few things, you know, they skip around and they are told all these contradictions or these terrible things that happened in the Old Testament. And they have this vision of God as an unjust or vindictive or terribly condemning God who never has any mercy for anyone. And then they think that the New Testament, well, all of a sudden, you know, God either realized that, you know, his plan didn't work, or he better just kind of soften up, and he sent Jesus, and Jesus, you know, he was a total different, you know, entity, because he just came and loved everybody and had lots of mercy for everybody. And that's why a lot of people, they actually, you know, reject the Bible or laugh at it, because they don't really understand the basics. The fact is, the word mercy is an Old Testament word too. It's not just in the New Testament. I mean, we find Mary speaking about mercy, but she's not the first one that talked about mercy. It's not that God all of a sudden chose Mary to reveal some great concept to this world. I mean, she's quoting the Old Testament anyway. So, you know, when you're witnessing to people, it's important to understand what mercy really is. It's important that they understand the concept, because if they don't, they're not going to get saved. The first thing I want to ask tonight is, do you appreciate mercy? Do you appreciate mercy? Now, there's a saying in Polish. It says, punkt widzenia zależy od punktu siedzenia. And that means your point of view depends on where you're sitting. Let's think about that. Do you appreciate mercy? Most of us would say, of course. Doesn't it depend on where you're sitting? If you're sitting in the courtroom and you're expecting the judge to give a guilty verdict and he shows mercy, honestly, do you appreciate mercy in that kind of a setting? Can you walk away saying, oh, what a great thing, he showed mercy? You see, appreciating mercy kind of can go both ways. I mean, you can appreciate it, and sometimes you can say, wait a second. It's not time for mercy. I mean, something's got to be done here. We've all been, I say all, anybody who has driven very long has been stopped by a policeman for something, I'm sure. And we all hope and pray that we'll get, you know, one of those warning tickets like Michael talked about, you know. And we're thankful for mercy in those situations, and we appreciate it. Just the other day in San Antonio, I heard about this judge that was pulled over for DWI. And I don't know, I don't think the trial has gone on yet, but as soon as it happened the next day, I think he said, well, he's going to still be able to hear cases, just not certain cases, you know. And you think, what's going on here, you know? We don't expect that kind of a mercy, but it does happen. Or how about these repeat offenders? It happens all the time, doesn't it? You know, this guy gets caught for raping somebody or molesting some child, and then you find out that he does it again. Why? Because the judge was lenient on him the first time and showed some mercy. And in those situations, we can't say, oh, you know, mercy is a great thing. It kind of depends, doesn't it? The problem with people today is that they think that mercy is some unconditional thing. That just because it exists, you can count on it. Can you imagine a guilty man standing before the judge? He's guilty, they have all the witnesses and all the proofs, and the judge says, what do you think? Well, I think that you ought to show mercy because, I mean, after all, it has been shown before, so why shouldn't I get mercy, you know? The fact is, mercy is not unconditional. Think about it. Look at this verse says in Luke 1:50. And His mercy is on them that fear Him. You know the problem? The problem is the lack of fear. Because this man that stands before the judge and says, I think you're going to show mercy, obviously has no fear. I mean, he's actually basically laughing at this judge, making a mockery of the whole justice system. We all believe in some kind of punishment. We just don't want it for ourselves. And most people don't believe in hell until they find someone they think that deserves it. And everybody cries for mercy. But people expect it. People think that, well, you know, since God is merciful, and I'll read some verses in a second, God must be obligated to do so. Look at Psalm 103. I'm going to read just a few verses. There's a whole lot more. But look at this Look at these verses here. Psalm 103, and we're going to read verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The Lord is merciful. Praise the Lord for that. And gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And so, the guilty sinner reads this and says, wow, you know, God is gracious. He's merciful. That's good, you know, and that's great. But it does say slow to anger. It doesn't say never angers. It doesn't say, you know, will not get angry. He's just slow to anger. I mean, the fact that you still are alive today is mercy. It's God being slow to anger. How many friends of ours have not made it until today? They died before us. Why? Are they worse than we are? Probably not. God is slow to anger. Look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy. Yeah, great. But keep reading. Toward them that fear Him. Doesn't that kind of change the idea of who gets mercy? Doesn't that kind of qualify who is the object of God's mercy? It's not that God just stands there and says, here's mercy, and just I'm going to send it out there. No! God is the one that shows mercy, but God says He shows mercy to those that fear Him. God is in the business of bringing man to his knees that he might fear Him. There's a verse in Psalm 130. Look at that one. Psalm 130. Let's read verse 4. Let's read verse 3 first. Verse 3 of Psalm 130. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? That's an important truth right there. If God counts sins, and He does, who has a chance? I mean, if God marks down everything you've said, and everything you've done, and everything you've thought, who has a chance? And verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with thee. And we say, oh, but that's not the whole verse. That thou mayest be feared. You cannot separate the mercy of God from the fear of God. If you don't understand the fear of God, then where is the need for mercy? And that's part of the problem is that even the idea of what mercy is a misconception. I think the basic idea is, and we use the word mercy and grace a lot interchangeably, and it can be used that way, but I think the idea of mercy is that you're not getting what you deserve. You're being spared punishment that you deserve. And so, if you expect mercy because it's there, and yet you don't fear God, you don't fear that punishment, well, haven't you misunderstood what mercy really is? And that's the problem. Men don't fear God. They don't fear hell. They don't fear punishment. They don't fear death. God is a merciful God, but He says His mercy is on them that fear Him. Look on at Psalms. Let's look at Psalms 33. Psalm 33. And verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Once again, fear and mercy together. It doesn't say upon them that assume His mercy is always going to be there. Them that hope in His mercy. Them that fear Him and hope in His mercy. Because if you don't fear God, then you know why you need mercy for? If you have no fear of God, you're not going to cry for mercy. You may say God is merciful, but if you don't fear Him, you don't understand the whole meaning of mercy in the first place. And I think that is the one of the things that we have to deal with ourselves in preaching the gospel, and that is clarifying what mercy really is and what fear really is. Because we know good and well that Jesus said that you shouldn't fear them which kill the body and can't kill the soul, but fear Him which has power to cast both, destroy both soul and body in hell. And Solomon told us clearly the beginning, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So look at, I have one more verse here. Look at Psalm 118 and verse 4. Psalm 118 and verse 4. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. You see, when a man doesn't fear the Lord and he says His mercy endures forever, it just doesn't come across the same, does it? But when you fear God, when you've understood what you really deserve, you understood what your sins deserve, you understand that you should be in hell tonight and for all eternity, and you say, the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Ah, praise the Lord for that. And when a man doesn't fear the Lord, and he says, oh, God is merciful, you can be pretty sure that man doesn't understand the concept of mercy. And so, we preach to people, we ask them questions, and we deal with them on their about their soul, and we ask them where they're going to spend eternity, and what do they say? Some of them say, I think I'll be in heaven. And when I ask them, why do you think so? Well, because God is merciful. Something's lacking. Something's missing. What is missing is the fear of God. And that's why sometimes our preaching is considered to be harsh or condemning. Because I'm not interested in hearing somebody say, you know, well, God's great and merciful, so I'm going to be okay. I'm interested in seeing somebody really afraid of dying and afraid of going to hell, afraid of meeting God face to face, and understanding that they can have mercy, but they got to fear Him first. And so look in Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 15. Why should we fear God? Why should men fear God? Well, verse 4 says, who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. Who shall not fear Thee? You know, that's a good question. Who wouldn't fear God? Most of us here would agree with that statement. How can you not fear God? How can you live like you do and not tremble before the very God who created you? How can you say the things you do and mock the God who created you and not tremble? We don't quite understand how that's possible. But that's how human nature is. We even find in chapter 6 of Revelation, we find this statement, look at this one, 6 and verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? No mercy will be shown on that day. This day is a day that John saw in the future. And let me tell you, the Bible says clearly that one day you will fear God. If you don't fear Him now, you're going to fear Him then. You'll understand who He really is. You'll get a You'll get a clear vision of who God really is. But today is the day of salvation, because today there is mercy. On that day, there will be no mercy. But you know, there's also another reason. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6. This is really an amazing verse too. Daniel has just been put into the lion's den, cast in the lion's den, and spent all night there. And amazingly enough, he came out alive. Not a scratch on him. And this king, this wicked pagan king, says this. Daniel 6:26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Even the wicked king understood when he saw something, said, oh, this is the very God. This is the one true God. And he made a decree that all men should tremble and fear before God. And if a pagan king understood that, why can't you understand that you should fear God? There's another reason, and it's to me the most compelling reason. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14. The Lord, verse 18, Numbers 14, 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And by no means clearing the guilty. Wait a second. Does God forgive or does not God not forgive? Is God long-suffering or does God not clear the guilty? Is God of great mercy or does He not clear the guilty? How does this work out? Well, that's what the whole point is. That's how we understand what mercy really is. God doesn't just overlook the sins of the guilty. God doesn't just say, well, you know, since I'm such a gracious God, I'm just going to forget a few sins of this person and that guy, and I'm just going to, you know, just arbitrarily forgive them. No. God does decide who gets mercy. God does is the one that shows mercy. But He says clearly, He does not clear the guilty. Isn't there a problem? I mean, aren't we all guilty? Isn't every person you meet guilty? They don't think so, but that's the job we have, to convince them with Scripture that they are guilty. And yet we find that God doesn't clear the guilty. God is a righteous God. And it says in Psalms that His throne is established in justice and judgment. He can't be bribed. He can't just close His eyes. You can't give Him, you know, a few dollars and hope He'll just turn the other way. Turn a blind eye. He does not clear the guilty. He demands that sin be paid for. And until the guilty sinner understands, until you, if you're a guilty sinner before God without the forgiveness of sins, until you understand that God has no reason to just somehow clear you of your sin, then you won't ever understand mercy. You first have to understand how God sees the guilty. He won't clear them. The fact is, mercy is free, in the sense that it is freely given. Jesus said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. God didn't say, if you walk to San Juan de los Lagos Every year, I will have mercy upon your family or on your child. God did say, if you'll fear me, I'll have mercy on you. If you don't understand who you are and who I am, I will show mercy. But you can't earn that mercy. You have to understand why you need it. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And so although mercy is freely given in this way, it does not mean that it was freely acquired or it was without any kind of a cost. And isn't that the real problem? We deal with people on the street and we deal with them in their homes and they act like, well, you know, what's the big deal? God is merciful and so what? You know, everything's okay. Since He's merciful, although we're sinners, everything's going to work out somehow just fine. And they make a mockery of the blood of Jesus Christ, which was the payment so that you could receive mercy. The payment so that God could not clear the guilty, not just overlook their sins, but have their sins completely paid for by somebody else, thus showing mercy and not sending them to hell forever and ever, and by grace giving them this free gift of heaven and salvation. Oh, that's what mercy really is. It's not getting the hell you deserve because someone else came and paid for your sins. The Bible says that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold. No, you cannot buy salvation. It is a free gift. But someone paid for your part. Someone paid for your sins. Someone paid for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ. Amen. And by offering salvation in Christ, all who believe, all who repent and believe can be saved. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. Amen.